Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb. Good Tuesday to you as we continue with Sports Map Radio Wake Up Call. All righty, let's get the good of the day.
Good of the day is that there is a school district in Kentucky, Tony, that is taking the first bold step to what all Americans want.
Okay.
All right, the Paris Independent School District decided last year that they were going to take the Monday after the Super Bowl off. And that decision was approved unanimously by the school board.
That's good.
So this past Monday, the school district actually had a Super Bowl holiday.
That's good. That they. Exactly.
No, we were talking about, you know, everyone wanting this Monday off. They're taking that first bold step into. I just think pretty soon the NFL is just going to increase it one more week, so it's President's Day.
They probably should marry the two.
But it is kind of funny how, you know, it's probably one of the more unanimous things that Americans all agree upon. Or probably the only thing all Americans agree upon,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
The one thing that could bring the country together is we all want Monday off.
But think about it. Like, if you have tickets, like, to the Super Bowl, right? And you're like, hey, I have a friend from high school. Her husband won tickets to the Super Bowl. So they went out this past weekend to Vegas. They left Friday night. They got a Friday after work kind of flight. They got in late Friday, spent all day Saturday having a good time. Went to the game on Sunday. They had a 5 a.m. flight back, but they had to take a day off. You know, both of them had to take a Monday off to, you know, a vacation day, which is not that big of a deal. It's only one day. But again, you're if it was a midday flight or something, it's like you want another day to recover. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to be like,
yeah,
have a day off where you can fly in, not have to take a vacation day, and maybe take a first day off on Tuesday or whatever. But if you're going to the game, it's like, all right, I can't go to the game and just fly back.
No, you know? And I'm amazed that, you know, I know that there are some media members. And I'm going to strictly talk about media members. I know there are some media members who do jump on a plane after the game.
Yeah.
Now, you know, most of the writers don't because they're, you know, they got deadlines and they're in the writer's room working until like 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. But, yeah, there are some who are just like, oh, that's, Vegas is done or Super Bowl's over. Let's just jump back on a plane and go.
Well, I've gone through that my entire career. It's like I would love to, if I go to a Super Bowl game, how do I do this the next morning or the next day? Do I have to do it there? Can I catch a flight back to my studio, wherever the studio is, whether it was Denver back in the day, Colorado Springs back in the day, or now in Nashville? How can I get back home so that I can do this the next morning in a reasonable amount of time? Now, if the Super Bowl is in Atlanta, that's a four-hour drive. I can make it back in time. If it's in Indianapolis, same kind of thing. If it's in Nashville when they build a new stadium, fine. But if it's in L.A., I'm not going to be able to come back and do the most important show on my calendar. Right? I'm going to be like, well, I got to either fly or figure out a way to do the show there in a hotel lobby or some other place. Because they, you know,
do
they
it on a plane.
Do it on the plane. Yeah, exactly. So, but I wouldn't mind.
How can we, I guess the only way we could truly piggyback like a Monday holiday would be if the NFL extended it one more week, which I can see them doing. I can see them saying, guys, we're going to go extra week.
Just marry it into. It is a weird thought of having a day off
because
federal
for
holiday for a commercial thing.
Right.
Like we have holidays to honor people, you know, President's Day is. President's Day, Martin Luther King Day.
What do we call it? This is National Sports Day, so everyone gets to take it off?
It would be weird to say, let's shut down the economy for a day because everybody's hung over from the Super Bowl. That's a little weird.
But the craziest thing is that it is the one universal thing that everyone does agree upon. Like, yes, it should be.
Well, it's because it's a day off. I mean, if you say to anybody, hey, I'll give you a day off after after the draft, right? People go, oh, yeah, I got to have one after the draft. But you're right. Everybody's
been talking
about it.
Schedule release day you need to have off?
Yeah, right. But you're right. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's a big event. Everyone's drinking, having a good time. Everybody's eating, you know. And everyone in the back of their mind is like, I got to be back at the office at 7:30 a.m. tomorrow.
And then you have a game like this that goes into overtime. Like, not even overtime. Like, deep, deep overtime. By the time you're done watching that, you know, saying goodbye to whoever's at your house, watching the post-game festivities, you're looking at the clock going, oh, man, look at that. It's 11:30.
Yeah. I mean, if you go back in time, you can find Super Bowls that started at like 3 o'clock Eastern. You know, it was always like Sunday afternoon, and then they kept pushing it and pushing it and pushing it, and now they've reached a point now where you're like, yeah, if this is the long Super Bowl, you're asking me to stay up till 11:30 if I'm on the East Coast, and then I got to wake up at 5:30, 6 a.m. to fight traffic to my office job in the city. Yeah, I wouldn't mind it. I would love it. I would love for my fellow Americans to have the day off after the Super Bowl. I will never have a day off after the Super Bowl, but I will give it to Americans.
I would say, you know, have the day off. Wake up like you normally do, but tune in to us.
That's right. Make sure you tune in to us.
And listen to us leisurely.
That's right. But good for this county, and it's going to pay dividends if Joe Burrow and the Bengals get back to the Super Bowl. That's kind of their area.
Paris Independent School District?
Yeah, right. The Paris Independent School District.
Is up near the Cincinnati area?
Get into the Super Bowl. Yeah, that's really the only real team that they have in Kentucky anyway. but if you are in that school district and the Burrow and the Bengals are in the Super Bowl, good for you.
Yeah.
You can celebrate the Bengals whatever or not whatever, but it doesn't matter. You don't have school the next day. Yay.
Just going back to that real quick, what would you say it a few seconds ago? Kentucky can't root for anything Tennessee, right?
No, they don't.
That's not allowed?
Yeah. Now, there's a belief that people like in Bowling Green will root for the Titans because it's near the border, but I don't know. I think it's all either Cincinnati.
If you rooted for anything in Tennessee, do you have to turn in your Kentucky card?
I would think so.
Okay.
I would think so. You see, the funny thing is my brother lives in southern Indiana, so he's like an hour from Indianapolis, but he's like an hour from Cincinnati. And I asked him, I said, "What is your town a Bengals town or a Colts town?" He goes, "It's kind of a Bengals town."
They go Vikings,
and I go, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, definitely." So I'm like, "Oh, that's wild."
It's a state pride.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know, but and I know Kentucky's a lot of Bengals fans. All right, what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, Tony, Deion Sanders.
Deion Sanders is in the bad of the day?
It's not really him that's bad. It's the Deion Sanders effect.
Uh-oh.
Because ticket prices for Colorado's football's first season in the Big 12 are astronomical.
Oh, very good.
So the cheapest ticket as of right now, I believe, is $200 per seat, per ticket. No, I'm sorry. North Dakota at Colorado, you can get in for $124.
I used to get in for $10. I swear to God. They were, you buy one, get 12 free.
North Dakota State at Colorado, the cheapest is $124.
Yeah. Wow.
Baylor at Colorado, just for comparison, $217. Colorado at UCF, $235. These are the cheapest tickets available.
I'm telling you right now, if this guy coaches there for 5 years and they never win a thing, maybe go to a couple bowl games, but never win a championship, never win anything, somebody is still going to write a book or a paper about the economic effect of Deion Sanders and what he meant to the Colorado program economically.
I started thinking about that. Is that enticing for a university?
To bring in somebody
like that. You may not win anything.
Right. The overall hope is that he wins, but if you're raking in $200 ticket money, yeah, that's very attractive.
Now that he's in the Big 12, and albeit maybe I don't know if the Big 12 is a little bit weaker with the exit of Texas and Oklahoma.
Right, I agree, but
it's still a bigger conference. It's a tougher conference. I don't see him winning the Big 12 championship.
No, I don't think he wins the Big 12 championship, and I still am not a big. I still need to see a little more on this recruiting because
the
transfer portal is one thing, but you still have to bring in talent from the lower level. You cannot keep winning by overturning the roster. There's going to be a moment where the kids are like, I can't go to another place. I've already transferred once to come here, and now you're telling me to transfer somewhere else.
Yeah.
I lose a year of eligibility if I do that. You told me to come here. I came here, and now you're kicking me out for yet another player on another team that's going to fall for this? And word is going to start getting around that if you go play for Deion, you're probably one and done because he's always looking for another one. He's always looking for another one. He's treating it like the way NFL teams treat it.
Except towards his kids.
Exactly.
Obviously, you know, they'll both be starting again next year.
Eventually, you are going to have to go after some blue chip prospects. You are going to have to recruit some blue chip talent.
And that, especially from your own backyard. Now, I know Colorado does produce decent football players, especially, you know, offensive linemen coming out of Colorado. I mean, you got, you know, There's some big, big boys in Colorado.
He's got to get them. He needs
he's got to get them.
Terrible offensive line.
I haven't heard one thing about his recruitment.
Yeah.
You're really absolutely right about that.
Pretty much non-existent. I mean, again, he's making his waves in the transfer portal, which is fine, but it's only going to it's only so much. But then again, you're right. I mean, he's definitely – we saw the Pac-12 as – Brian Scheibel and I were talking about this at Radio Row.
Yeah.
The Big 12 – the Pac-12 was I can't even begin to describe it, how much better it was than originally anticipated. Like, almost everybody was ranked at some point in the season early on and maybe faded down. Quarterback play was outstanding. The Big 12 is not going to be like that for the Buffaloes. But, yeah, $200 tickets now for college football games to see him on the sidelines? Yeah, keep printing the money, Boulder. Keep printing the money. All right, the dumb coming up as we continue on a Tuesday. It's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call. SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, continuing along this morning. Glad you could be with us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. All right, we're doing the good, the bad, and the dumb. We just did the bad. Deion Sanders is causing prices to go through the roof in Boulder just to see Buffalo.
And I really don't know what for.
Yeah,
because
only
I
won four games last year.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of hype and I think there was a part of us that kind of jumped on that train for a little bit, but we waited and waited and said, you know, well, let's see what they do against actual Pac-12 teams. And then we saw what he actually did against Pac-12 teams, which was not anything.
Not really anything. I mean, they won one game after they were 3-0.
Yeah.
And everybody was loving them. They beat Arizona State barely, and that was it.
Yeah, what was it? Because they beat a really down TCU team? But
yeah, everyone thought that TCU was going to be good.
No, not TCU, Texas Tech.
No.
Or was it TCU?
No, they only had three wins. They beat TCU at the beginning of the season. They beat Nebraska, and they beat Colorado State.
Right. So it was TCU.
And TCU was ranked, but then they weren't ranked at the time.
Right.
So, by the end of the season, they were like, okay, this wasn't as good of a team as we thought it was going to be. So they beat TCU, Nebraska, and Colorado State. And then their only other win in conference play was against Arizona State. And that was they barely beat them in Tempe, but they beat them anyway. They had the big lead against Stanford and blew it, and then they got blown out by Oregon. They were, quote-unquote, closer game than people thought against USC at home. But,
yeah,
you know, but that other than that was it. But unless he's, like, signing tickets and taking pictures with people, $200 to go see Colorado seems like a lot for a college football game in Boulder. So, goodness gracious. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, Tony, I'm giving it to Major League Baseball and their social media department.
Uh-oh, what did Major League Baseball
do? So this part isn't the dumb part, okay? They're taking to the tweeters and probably the gram to honor black baseball players for Black History Month. Great idea.
Okay, very good idea.
On Sunday, the person they chose to honor and highlight was Barry Bonds. And the only reason why I'm bringing this up, because I feel like it's – maybe now they can honor Barry Bonds now that he's no longer eligible for the Hall of Fame?
Good point. I got a great question about this, about Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds has been a coach. He's worked with players. He's not, like, disappeared. Has baseball softened its thought on Barry Bonds and maybe not the writers per se, because that's a separate entity, but the entity of Major League Baseball? Have they just gone, Barry Bonds, yeah, whatever.
Let's not punish
him when everybody else did. It'd be Mark McGwire became a coach.
But they really didn't come to his defense ever.
Well, you're not going to come to a defense of a guy that did steroids, but it doesn't mean you have to shun him either. You don't have to support him and say it doesn't matter. They could still say it matters, but we'll still let him be in clubhouses, you know, working as hitting coaches. Because that's what McGwire did.
Yeah.
You know.
So I love that he was a hitting coach.
I mean, let's process that for a second. Because I think Barry Bonds got a – when it came to steroids, here's the way I look at it. Do I think that the players who did steroids did a wrong thing in terms of – yes. I'm not going to excuse the everyone was doing it because not everyone was doing it. That's not what was going on. There were people that made decisions that – you know, utilizing this or that.
Out.
Sure. But at the same time, when you are talking about Alex Rodriguez got suspended, Mark McGwire again became a hitting coach, right? All of this, all of these other people that did it and found ways to sort of survive it. I think Barry Bonds got hurt because he was kind of a jerk
to the media
rather than being a steroid person. It would have been unfair for people to label Barry Bonds, he's this, but we're allowing Alex Rodriguez to be on baseball sets talking about baseball on television. We're giving, you know what I mean? Like,
true.
I mean, right, I know Alex Rodriguez was a likable guy.
There was a lot where Barry did shoot himself in the foot.
Yeah.
Because especially when those allegations came about, he completely, flipped out on the media.
Sure, sure.
But
I think Barry Bonds' punishment is he's not going to the Hall of Fame.
But does he get in? Do you think he'll get in with the writer, the senior committee?
It's a deep conversation because you have to talk about everyone else in their context as well. It's a hard question to answer because it depends on the next generation that comes up to see if they carry the torch for people that were involved in that covered baseball at that point, or do they have their own opinions of the steroid era as something that is. You know what, it's all, it was a dark time, but the accomplishments are still there. You know, I mean, no doubt, there was no question that everyone knew it with Barry Bonds. Nobody really thought about it with McGwire and Sosa, right? Everyone kind of was enjoying the run, enjoying the race. Again, it was that one reporter that asked about Andrew Steendione, but still we didn't care. And then when Bonds was doing it, we did know about it. We did care. We did have our assumptions. We did treat Barry Bonds. But at the same time, I remember covering the Rockies, and every time the Giants came to town, it was a packed house.
Yep.
So you can't have one thing or the other.
And
baseball.
I think that's where, it's always a sore subject with me with baseball, because summer of 98 was wildly celebrated. It was the greatest summer baseball has seen in a long, long time.
Right.
During that McGwire-Sosa home run race. And, it was front page news. And, yeah, I know that, the allegations came after that. But it was just quickly like, yeah, okay, we got to turn our backs to you now, even though you saved baseball.
Yeah.
And I think that's always been a sore subject. Was like, it shows the business side of sports where we used you to gain what we needed to gain, but now we're done with you.
But we're going to toss you aside. I'm going to stick up for baseball a little bit on that. There was no steroid testing in the late 90s, so they couldn't really do anything. They had their assumptions, but they couldn't prove it, right? They didn't test for it, so because they didn't test for it, they had to let it go, right? But they didn't. So that became a problem. And then when they finally started testing for it, they were like, okay, now we're going to do something. But it took Congress to go, you better get a handle on this. Because if you remember the hearings when all of a sudden Sammy Sosa didn't speak
report.
English and Matt Rafael Palmeiro was pointing his finger. And the one guy that was enjoying everything was Jose Canseco. Canseco was like, I told you, no one was listening.
Was he there?
No one listened to me. Yeah, he was. He was. And he was like,
smoking
no one
a
was,
cigar sitting in the back
I
of the room.
I wrote a book about it. I told everybody this was happening. Y'all shunned me, told me I was a moron. Y'all told me I was an idiot. But you know what? I'm right. See, we're all here, aren't we? And that's when, because what happened was they told Major League Baseball, and I always remember this. They said to Major League Baseball, look, guys, you're all adults here. This was basically in a nutshell. I'm paraphrasing. But basically the message was, here's the problem, guys. You're all adults here, but the problem that you have, if you create a scenario where the only way to be competitive enough to earn a paycheck playing Major League Baseball is to take this stuff, then it's going to trickle down to the schools it already has. You guys have to do something about it, because if I'm an 18-year-old kid and I've got scouts knocking at my door and then I get a contract and then I get sent to Asheville, North Carolina, and I quickly realize that the only way to go to the majors is to take steroids because everyone else is doing it because it's unregulated and it's like the Wild Wild West and everyone's popping something, cream, clear, injections, whatever it is, and no one's calling for it, no one's testing it, and I feel like, well, my natural ability is only going to take me so far, my juiced up ability is going to take me to the place I want to get to. Well, naturally, I'm going to take that risk. And that's when Congress said, you got to do something. And that's when they started doing it. But again, you're right. It saved them. But at the same time, they knew it was coming. They knew that the backlash, they were going to pay the price for it in some way, shape or form. I tell you right now, I said for years, The guy that the AP writer that asked about Andrew Seignion was the bravest guy I have seen in journalism in a long time. And people always mock this in sports journalism anyway, because I tell people sports journalism for the most part is, hey, how does it feel to win a championship?
But do you think he knew what he was, the thread that he was pulling?
It could have been. I don't know.
Do you think he was just,
I don't think he's ever really done any interviews, but he was the one that said, what is that?
It's a big tub of something.
What is in that bottle right there? And McGuire had no, he's like, yeah, it's Andrew Seignion. And people went, oh, what's that? How do you spell that? And once that started unlayering, that's when the party was starting to get a little murky. Like the fun Sosa McGuire party was now getting to like 2 a.m. and people are starting to bring in stuff they probably shouldn't bring into the party and you probably should go home. Right? That's when it was starting to feel like, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
That's when you know you shouldn't have that one drink, but you're like, I'm here.
My favorite stat of that time, and I bring it up all the time, is the Rafael Primero stats when he arrived in Texas.
Yeah.
That's my favorite stat of all of them. Is what he did prior to meeting Jose Canseco, and then what he did the moment he met Jose Canseco when they were on the same team.
He went from decent player to...
I mean, it's insane.
To greatest of all time.
Look up baseballreference.com. It's mind... Like, okay, he arrived in Arlington there, and holy cow, and it just piles up.
But to Tony, he just started seeing the ball better.
Right, that Texas humidity. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. It's Wake Up Call.